Every Christmas, or even this Christmas, children may have been expecting toys as Christmas gift. What do you expect as Christmas gift? Are you expecting Christmas gift? Well, not only children, even adults wants to have their toy. There's this called big boy toys, or big girl toys. Well, business people promote the idea that the one who owns the most toy wins. And insensible individuals may think that if they can buy all the toys they want, they win. They wish to buy everything you want. Well, how do you wisely spend your money? Someone bought a new motorbike for personal use. But the following morning, the new bike was gone. Somebody drove away the motorbike without asking permission. Bad elements in the society would steal anything valuable to them, and not just bikes, not just cars. They might have been scheming to steal your favorite toy already. Everything on earth is temporary. Those situations when your favorite toy or the favorite thing that you want or you own have been stolen, it reminds us of things that we cannot own forever. Like toys, wealth won't last forever. But pray for godly wisdom that you may store up eternal treasure using temporal wealth. Christ admonishes us in Luke chapter 16, verse 9 to 13. I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwelling. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you your property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Think about this. If you have limited monthly budget, if your budget for a month is just few hundred dollars, how do you allocate it? Now, a few decades ago, it is still fresh in my mind, remembering my teacher. Our teacher, she would be praying for us children. And then last week, friends told us that my teacher was asking, how's Pastor Salong? Where is he now? And that I learned that her pastor husband died a few years ago, so she is now a widow, and she's almost 100 years old. But still, she continues to store up eternal treasures in heaven for herself. We were told that she just received a few thousand pesos as monthly stipends, monthly allowance from retirement money. To be exact, that's 14,000. For 1 month, 14,000 a month allowance. But what she did, what she does, even now, once she received her allowance, she would go and buy food and snacks. Because their house is home for many people. She would give food and snack to everyone who come to her home, and that nothing is left for her. I don't know if her children, grandchildren are complaining that She doesn't spend her money for her own self, but it reminds me that, wow, her life, she spent that great storing up treasures for herself. In comparison, it is often reported that many celebrities spend millions of dollars for selfish leisure, posting social media, the luxury, the pleasure they are doing for their millions of dollars. And some millionaires, they are living in prison for crimes they committed. Others are charged as sex offenders with millions. Sexual immorality is not exclusive to wealthy celebrities. Anyone can be tempted to commit sexual sin. So what can we do? What can we do to avoid sexual sin, sexual immorality? How can we flee from it? Who can help us? The Holy Spirit. He empowers us, inspires us to have that firm resolve to avoid sexual sin. Again, anyone can be tempted. No one is exempted. You've heard of great pastors, famous pastors involved in sexual immorality. How about ordinary Christians? Are they exempted? No. But pray, whenever you observe, whenever the Lord show there's possibility of sexual sin, Lord, empower me, inspire me, that I may flee from this sexual sin. Let's read again verse 18 of our passage. Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body, but whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Apostle Paul wrote this godly command to flee from sexual immorality. To whom? To the church in Corinth. He did not write this command to people outside that church. It was written to church people. Why not the ungodly? Why not the non-religious people? Because surely the people who do not believe in God will just ignore godly commands. Only godly people, children of God, listen and pay attention to godly commands. Those who sin sexually commit sin against their own body. If sexual sin is against the body of the one who sins sexually, sexual sin is never favorable to the self. To flee from sexual immorality is a command, godly command, for our welfare, We should resolve to avoid sexual sin. Ask the Lord, Lord, help me. This is godly command. I cannot do it on my own. Only by your empowerment that I can obey, that I can flee from sexual immorality. Let's reflect on what it says in Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 22. The Lord Jesus was talking about this. He declared or commanded us, for it is from within, out of the person's heart, that evil thoughts come: sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. From within, out of the person's heart, we have all the tendency to commit sin. everyone who have sinned is destined to eternal torture. If we resolve not to commit sin, and not just sin of sexual immorality, we need godly help. And that is the very reason Jesus Christ was born on earth. The manger, I am amazed that those who prepared the manger here did not remove it. It really reminds us that Jesus Christ was born, the empty manger. The cross reminds us the reason of our celebration of Christmas. The cross, the empty cross, the very reason why we celebrate Christmas. Jesus came, and all who believe in him, in his sacrificial death, will be saved from eternal torture and receive the gift of eternal life also. That is the greatest gift we receive. Be sure that you receive the gift of eternal life this Christmas celebration. Someone has published a comic strip. I don't know if you have even received this in your social media. And it painted Jesus Christ carrying the cross. And also Santa carrying a huge bag of gifts. Accordingly, they had this conversation. Jesus asked Santa, "What's in your bag? Huge bag, Santa." Santa replied, "Oh, this gift that I will give to children who behave." Listen, children. "This gift I will give to children who behave this year. I hope it will be enough. And how about you? Where is your gift? Why are you carrying a cross?" Santa asked Christ. And Christ responded, "Oh, this cross is my single gift for everyone who believes in me. And not just for those who behave well this year. It's for everyone. Single gift." Many people are focused on receiving temporal gift. They hope that if they behave well, they may receive a gift from Santa if they are included in his list. So they'll sing and tell you why. "You better watch out, you better watch out, you better watch out, you better watch out. Who is coming? Who is coming? Christ is coming soon. Christ is coming soon." In comparison, those who behave well and those who did not behave well, Christ our Lord invites everyone to accept his gift of eternal life. It's for everyone, not just those who behave well. Together, let us meditate on John 3:16 to 18. We read this a while back, but we'll read again. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." The Lord took all our sins. He nailed them on the cross with Jesus Christ. The cross, Jesus Christ died. Cross, the empty cross shows that Christ was buried, resurrected, returned to heaven. He prepares a place for you and for me, who trust in the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior? Have you recognized your need to be saved from eternal torture yet? By faith, we recognize that we need forgiveness. We ask God to forgive us. By faith, we recognize our need to repent of our sins. Let's read again verse 19 of our passage. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Do you recognize that? Do you recognize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? That is, if you, the Holy Spirit is living in your life. To recognize our body as the temple of the Holy Spirit, it practically proves our faith in Christ. Do you recognize that? Do you sense like the Holy Spirit is living in your life? Do you sense it? It means you have faith in God, in Christ. When by faith we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, the Lord sent His Holy Spirit into our hearts. He guarantees us that when He returns, He takes us into heaven. If His Holy Spirit dwells in our bodies, it means this is His temple. Your body is God's temple. You do not own your body. Our body is not our own. Our life belongs to God. If our life belongs to God, everything we have belongs to God. Can you accept that? How do you explain that to a child, to an ordinary listener? When we follow Christ as Lord, He becomes our master. Christ becomes our Lord only when we follow Him. It makes no sense to say, Jesus is my Lord, and disregard Him. It makes no sense. We are His servants if Christ is our Lord. But how can servants serve Christ as master? How can we serve Him as master, as our Lord? We behave in godly righteousness. And that is also the empowerment and inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So when we are not behaving in godly righteousness, we are obeying our sinful nature. But when we are behaving in godly righteousness, it is because the Holy Spirit empowers us to be righteous. In contrast, when we follow sinful desire, we obey sin. Sin is our master. We are slave to sin. And the penalty of sin is eternal death. It is decreed in the scripture so that no one would say, oh, nobody told me that. We always remind everyone that sin, the penalty of sin, is death, eternal death. After we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Christ saved us from the penalty of sin, which is eternal torture. And He gave us eternal life. That gift of eternal life is the greatest gift we can receive, not just in Christmas, but all throughout our life. It declares in Romans chapter 6, verse 20 to 23. Let's read this together. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, this comparison of death in life. It says eternal life. This death is not the temporary death or a physical death. It is also eternal death. That is how you would interpret the Bible. Don't read only a passage, read throughout so that you will understand how it reminds us, teaches us the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross. It was a mysterious gift of God that saved all believers from eternal torture. Mysterious gift. We may not understand how it happened, but it is by faith we believe it. His crucifixion, it has ransomed, paid the necessary ransom to free us from the control of sin, so that sin cannot influence us anymore. Now, you may have been asking yourself, but why is it that I am still tempted to do this and that if I was freed from the control of sin? Yes, you are tempted, but you are free to avoid it. You are free to ignore it. But if it seems you are powerless from that temptation, ask God, Lord, empower me. This sin is just getting stronger and stronger and tempting me. Empower me, Lord, to avoid it, even to ignore it, even to forget it, even not to understand it, even not to consider it. Lord, empower me. And if it is still that sin continue to keep on torturing you, influencing you, trying to bring you down to commit that sin, keep asking until you sense that joy, that peace, and you know that it is God, it is the Holy Spirit who empowers you because you sense that fruit of the Spirit. If Christ bought our freedom from sin, then we are free indeed. Ask the Lord, increase my faith to truly believe that I am freed from the enticement, the influence of sin. If Christ bought our freedom, we are his servant legally, right? Do you believe that? Do you believe that Christ has bought your freedom from his slavery of sin? If Christ bought our... Now, think about this. You are a merchant. You bought a slave so that that slave would be freed from the one who enslaving him. Meaning you own that slave, right? Legally, because you bought it. Christ bought us from sin. Legally, he owns us. Legally, we are his servants. Legally, Christ becomes our Lord. Legally, Christ becomes our master. By faith, we accepted Christ as Savior. He saved us from the slavery of sin. By faith, we accepted Christ as Lord. We are now his servants. We accept him as our master. Do you internalize the meaning of Lord? The English term Lord, it's not just a title. Lordship meaning he has authority over servants. That is the meaning of Lord. Many are saying, Jesus is my Lord, Jesus is my Lord. But they don't really understand the meaning of, internalize the meaning of Christ as Lord. To internalize Christ as our Lord, we submit to him as his servant. We become slave to righteousness, godly righteousness. That is how we behave as servant of Christ, to behave in godly righteousness. Yet, even if legally we are servants of the Lord, Christ chooses us. Christ chooses to call us, not servants, His friends. You're my friends if you follow and obey what I command. He calls us His brothers and sisters. How about that? You are a brother and a sister of the King of Kings. So who are you then in the eyes of God? You are children of God, right? If you are children of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who are you then? How do you act? Christ does not call us His servant. Even so, even when we accepted Him as Lord. There was this interview about a princess, a royal princess somewhere in Europe. I don't know if it was Princess Eugene. I cannot remember exactly. But she tells us a story how they behaved in a dining table. Normally, I don't know if you experienced that. I had that experience back when my waistline is still smaller. I would like to sit on the table and put my one foot on top of my chair. It feels good to eat with that knees up high. And that is a no-no in the royalty. You don't do that. The princess would raise her knees on top of the table, the queen would ask her, are those knees invited for the dinner? And she would playfully say, yes, they are invited, because she wants to raise her knees. And if we are brothers and sisters of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, how do we behave? If we are servants of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, how do we behave? We serve Christ as Master and Lord. We behave in godly righteousness. The scripture was written for us to know how we may behave in godly righteousness. How we may behave as brothers and sisters of the King of Kings. How we may think even. Personally, how do you internalize your relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Master? How are you, whenever you remember Jesus Christ, especially in Christmas time, how do you behave yourself as His servants? How do servants really respond when their master commands them? Do you know somebody who has a master? Now, if you've been into martial arts, it's common to martial arts students to address their martial arts teacher, master, sensei, master, teacher. That's how they address their teacher, karate teacher, for example. And yet, martial art teachers won't call their martial arts students servants. They do not call them. Have you watched the movie Karate Kid? The kid was bullied. He was intimidated by a group of karate students. They harassed the kid to practice their karate lesson. At one time, the master saved the kid from the group. What happened next? The kid says, he asked the master to teach him karate. The master was a small guy, and yet he defeated the tall, big bullies. So the master, okay, you want to learn karate? Come. Wipe this. Wipe out. Wipe, wipe. Wipe on, wipe out. Wax on, wax out. Wipe on, wipe out. Wax on, wax out. And then, here, come. You brush this. Brush down, brush up. Brush down, brush up. down, rise up. So, what do you think? That's right. The karate kid, the kid, did not readily understood that wiping clean the car or the floor and brushing paint up and down the fence actually effective martial art lesson, exercise, martial art exercise, martial art practice. I don't know if you read this, but someone posted, I don't know if it's really, it's true. Bruce Lee, you remember Bruce Lee? Bruce Lee said, I fear not the person who practiced once 10,000 techniques in karate. I fear not, but I fear the person who practiced 10,000 times one technique. And that is, everything we do it all the time, eventually it will be fruitful. What is it that you do normally, every day, but you cannot understand a brighter purpose of what you are doing? Likewise, we do not easily understand the instruction of Christ because they are godly. Only with godly inspiration that we understand godly instruction. We don't understand that the instruction of God is actually beneficial to us practically and spiritually. If we trust His instruction as beneficial to us, what should we do? Don't answer me. Answer yourself. Don't raise your hand. Just answer yourself and ask this question. Do I trust the instruction of God practically that beneficial to me practically? Do I trust the instruction of God? What do you say to yourself? Do I trust the scripture as practical, spiritual, beneficial to me? What's your answer? If your answer is yes, do you think you are not deceiving yourself? But if you eagerly read the Word of God, you are not deceiving yourself. We eagerly read the Word of God to hear what He says because we believe that the Scripture is godly instruction for us to be beneficial. But we just cannot understand it like the karate kid. Cannot understand that simple wiping out, wiping on, waxing out, waxing on, was beneficial to him until the master showed him, see, this is how you do it. This is how you defend yourself. If you've been watching Kung Fu practices, Kung Fu movies, you are practicing something like that. Yeah, and according even to the story of Bruce Lee, he would practice and then escape and be sure that when his master would come back, he would be back practicing. Because at first he did not like until he understood eventually that practicing it 10,000 times, it made him that very good in karate. We obey Christ as our Lord. We listen to His word, to His instruction, because we belong to Christ. If we don't listen to Him, we ignore Him as our master. We disregard Him as our Lord. But if His Holy Spirit lives in us, He warrants us that we belong to Christ and He inspires us to obey Him. Let's read again Romans chapter 8, verse 14 to 16. Let's read. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about you adoption to sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. How do you address God as your Father? Some time ago, years ago, we were in a prayer meeting, and someone prayed audibly and said, Daddy, Father. I was a little bit uncomfortable because he called God Daddy. And then I reflect, wow, that is how she was so close to the Father that she had no embarrassment. She doesn't feel ashamed calling God Daddy. Do you sense that when you pray? How do you call your fathers? Call their father, Papa, Daddy, Tatay, Tatang, Itay. Try to call God when you pray. Try to pray. And sense from your heart if you sense that comfortable feeling. Now, if you don't sense like you are not comfortable, Daddy, for Heavenly Daddy. If you are not comfortable, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, help me be comfortable to call you as my Daddy, please. Try that in your quiet time. God gave commandments, many commands actually, but there's these 10 commands that summarize all the 630 plus commands in the Bible. The first four commands pertains to the Lord. Have the Lord your God, only God. Have no other God. Do not make idols. Worship me on the Sabbath. The fifth is, the first four command was focus on God. The fifth is focus on others. The first command, focus on others. The first command, to have a promise. The first command. The command for us to give honor, respect to our fathers and mothers, to our parents. The first command outside the commands focused on God is focused on our parents. Why not our friends? Why not our classmates? Why not our office mate? Why father? Why not our brother? Why not our sister? Why father or mother? The fifth command. Why is it? Was it scrambled? I don't think so. It was arranged according to the importance that the Lord wanted us to recognize. Command, give honor and respect to parents. Everyone, not just little children, every one of us are parents. And as children of God, how can we show respect to God as our Father? How? In verse 20, let's read. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Honor God with your bodies. That is how we honor God. We respect God with our bodies. When we keep our bodies from sexual immorality, we show respect and honor God, the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. How? Have you heard or have you seen the vandalism at the other side of our wall, at the back? Have you seen it? Or even in front? when they have put some vandalism there, make vandalism. How did you react? How did you react when they sprayed the wall of our church building? Or have your garage door been vandalized? We had. Now our fence had been vandalized too. Likewise, sexual sin is vandalism that defiles and corrupts our body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. We flee from sexual sin as respect to the temple of the Holy Spirit. Together, let's meditate on Romans 12, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Can you repeat that three times? The last part, His good, pleasing, perfect will. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. I hope that sink in our mind that the will of God is good and pleasing and perfect. Do you want to follow a perfect path? The will of God, that is the good, pleasing, and perfect will. Pray for increase of faith to personally internalize this admonition. It is by faith we believe that the will of God for us is good, pleasing, and perfect. What is it that you would do then? How do you know? How can you follow the good, pleasing, perfect will of God? This Christmas vacation, spend ample time, read the scripture often, not just this Christmas time. Hear what God tells you. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. How do you spend this Christmas? When everyone is celebrating Christmas joyfully, and yet you may have personal or family concern. So how can transformation happen? How can transformation by the renewing of our mind happen then? If others are celebrating joyfully, but you have family, personal concern, together, let's sincerely internalize the promise of Jesus Christ in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Any concern, personal, family concern, do not let your heart be troubled. Be concerned of having that peace from Christ. As the Lord, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Why not peace? Because when the Holy Spirit fills us with the Holy Spirit, not just peace, but also joy, love, patience. The fruit of the Spirit will be in us. Do you sense that peace? While you celebrate Christmas away from your wife, away from your family, from your loved ones. It's hard, right? You miss your wife, you miss your children, you miss your family, you miss your brothers, you miss your sisters. How can you have peace? Can the peace from Christ be enough for us to celebrate His birth on earth as in human form? When we do not have enough to celebrate, well, we can learn from the shepherds. It narrated in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. verse 13 to 18, that should be verse 13 to 18. Suddenly, let's read. A great company of heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." Can you repeat that? Glory to God in the highest in heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. Louis, if you can give me the verse 20 of that passage. I was not able to put that on PowerPoint. But indeed, the shepherd sensed that joy. They cannot contain that great joy when they saw Jesus face to face. When they saw the Son of God face to face in human form. Shepherds were considered to be the lowliest class in the society. What is the lowliest class in the society in Canada? Lowliest working class, I would say. What? In their time, the shepherds were the lowliest class. But this time, the shepherds now are the rich people. Because they own sheep. But look at, let's read verse 20 of Luke 2, verse 20. The shepherd returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Glorifying and praising God, these are simple words, but it cannot express much how much glorious praising and rejoicing the shepherd had. How do you? Mostly when you sense that glorifying feeling and praising, fathers would say, "I'm very proud of you." That is the word that the world says. "I'm very proud of you." But they would like to say, they want to glory, they have that praise and glorifying sense of rejoicing in their hearts. That is the right term, not proud. If you could ever escape that word proud, when you say, "I'm proud of you," to your children, "I sense that glorifying and praising sense for you, my son, my daughter." That would be the right word that you would use. That is the sense that they experience, the lowliest laborers in those times, the shepherds. Their humble status did not stop them from spreading the good news. Why? They just cannot contain in their heart. Wow! It's like when your favorite team won. Yeah, you want to post on your social media that your team won. Sports team won, kind like. They have personally proven that the peace of Christ was sufficient enough for them to rejoice even in their lowliest status. They were not ashamed to go to town to say, "We have seen this. We have seen the Son of God. We have seen the Messiah was born. We have seen with our eyes. The angels told us we go, we went. We have seen." That lowliest should be embarrassed with their clothes, with their smell, with their appearance, to go to the city, because the city would despise them. And yet they have that courage, because they sense that peace from Christ, and so Christ. Our situation in life may not be as glamorous or elegant as like those celebrities that you may have been watching, but it should not hinder us to sense that joyful peace from the Lord. Keep asking the Holy Spirit, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I would like to sense this Christmas that joyful peace from you. We celebrate the birth of Christ on earth. And remember, as we see the empty cross, that Christ is coming again to take us into his heaven. So despite the problem, domestically and internationally, here and abroad, may the Holy Spirit of Christ overflow his joy and peace in our hearts so that we joyfully celebrate Christmas and tell potential believers how we found joy and peace in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's stand up and silently let's thank God this Christmas, remembering his birth, remembering his death, expecting his coming again. Ask God to increase your faith.